Music on the Hill by Saki. Part 2. 2 days later. I see you very little lately. The farm and woods and trout streams seem to swallow you up from dawn till dusk. Mortimer. Not intentionally. Sorry, though, Syl. Chores have kept me busy. Later that morning. I shall follow in the direction I saw Mortimer take towards that open space in the nut copse. It is shut in by these big yew trees. Whoa. In the center of it now stands a stone pedestal surmounted by a small bronze figure of a youthful Pan. It is a beautiful piece of workmanship, but a newly cut bunch of grapes has been placed as an offering at its feet. Grapes are none too plentiful at the manor house, and yet we waste some good grapes out here. Sylvia snatched the bunch angrily from the pedestal. Contemptuous annoyance dominated her thoughts as she strolled slowly homeward, and then gave way to a sharp feeling of something that was very near fright. Across a thick tangle of undergrowth, a boy's face was scowling at her, brown and beautiful, with unutterably evil eyes. It was a lonely pathway, all pathways round Yesni were lonely for the matter of that, and she sped forward without waiting to give a closer scrutiny to this sudden apparition. It was not till she had reached the house that she discovered that she had dropped the bunch of grapes in her flight. I saw a youth in the wood today, brown-faced and rather handsome, but a scoundrel to look at. A gypsy lad, I suppose. Mortimer. A reasonable theory, only there aren't any gypsies in these parts at present, then who was he? I suppose it was your doing, it's a harmless piece of lunacy, but people would think you dreadfully silly if they knew of it. Mortimer. Did you meddle with it in any way? I threw the grapes away. It seems so silly. Stop looking so annoyed. Mortimer. I don't think you were wise to do that. I've heard it said that the wood gods are rather horrible to those who molest them, horrible perhaps to those that believe in them, but you see I don't. Mortimer. All the same. I should avoid the woods and orchards if I were you, and give a wide berth to the horned beasts on the farm. It is all nonsense, of course, but in this lonely wood-girdled spot nonsense seems able to rear uneasiness. Mortimer, I think we will go back to town sometime soon. Mortimer. I don't think you will ever go back to town. Don't be so dramatic. In the meantime I will take your advice in the course of tomorrow afternoon's ramble to stay clear of the woods. As to the horned cattle, your warning is scarcely needed, for I have always regarded them as of doubtful neutrality at best. The next day a low piping, as of some reedy flute, rose from the depth of a neighboring copse, and there seemed some subtle connection between the animal's restless pacing and the wild music. Sylvia turned her steps upland and climbed the slopes that stretched in rolling shoulders high above Yesni. Sylvia could presently see a dark body, breasting hill after hill, and sinking again and again out of sight as he crossed the coombs. Mortimer. Sylvia, no. Not in that direction, turn around, retrace your steps. Run towards the toolshed. Don't go towards that rough beast, I have faith he will be run off by the hounds. Mortimer. The hunted deer sometimes go the other way, and head down the hill, I am not going to fly in fear before you pagan worshippers God. Face reality. It's not the dawn of time. She had left the piping behind, but a